Okay, I've got one question here from Shridhar Das. He says, one of your disciples is using the swing of the pendulum to get an answer to his questions regarding practical and spiritual decisions in her life, and she's taking it very seriously and faithfully, following everything that the pendulum says. She's convinced that it is Krishna speaking to her in this way. Could you kindly explain, is it really possible to ask questions to Krishna in such an easy way? No. Well, you can ask Krishna questions. The question, real question is Krishna answering you in such an easy way? And the answer is no. We should not assume that we are so advanced that we have direct connection with Krishna. Is there any difference between Krishna directly speaking to you in a pendulum or Krishna directly speaking to you from his murti or directly appearing before you? In other words, the assumption that Krishna is directly speaking to me every time I ask him a question is presumptuous. It's arrogant. Why am I so advanced that Krishna is directly speaking to me? Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena. Have I reached that stage of devotional service where I've purchased Krishna and therefore Krishna is ready to answer? I highly doubt that that's the question with the devotee being spoken about, or us in general. So whether it's a pendulum or tarot cards or anything else, we shouldn't assume that we have this type of direct connection with Krishna. That doesn't mean that Krishna is not speaking to us. But how is Krishna speaking to us? Krishna is speaking to us through his instructions, through the Bhagavad Gita, through the Vaishnavas, through our spiritual master, Sarva Shastra Guru Vakya. This is the way that Krishna has given, how he wants us, how he wants to speak to us, and he's given us intelligence in order to be able to take advantage of the communication that we receive through this media, through this Vaya media. For us, Krishna consciousness means understanding that this is how Krishna is actually communicating to us. And if we want to ask questions, we should ask them through this type of approach. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and then he said, okay, now you decide what you want to do. He didn't tell Arjuna, okay, now swing a pendulum and find out what you should do. So rather than having faith in these type of esoteric and speculative things, we should have faith that if we follow the properly prescribed process that's given to us by Srila Prabhupada, then we will meet with success in our Krishna consciousness and our spiritual lives. That's what Shraddha is. That's what faith is. Shraddha Vishwasu Vridhanis Joy, that if I just follow the process of Krishna consciousness, everything will come. But we don't need to have excessive faith in all kinds of other things. We should have faith in the power of Bhagavad Gita, in the power of Vaishnava association. And we can have faith in actually our own intelligence, that if we know these things, know the teachings of Lord Krishna, and know how Vaishnavas, our spiritual master, the Acharyas, have formulated Krishna conscious answers to all the problems in life, questions in life, then we will be able to actually resolve things. But this is not the way. It's making Krishna consciousness very cheap. I'm not saying the person is a sahaja. I'm just saying that this is what sahaja is. Sahaja is means you take things cheaply. You think that Krishna is there and ready to reciprocate with me at any time, in any place. And Srila Prabhupada would then say, why would you even want to bother Krishna? Our business is not to disturb Krishna for repeating those things that he's already told us in so many different ways. Another question is from Balaram Das. He said, years ago I heard that Lord Nityananda is an incarnation of Lord Balaram in Ananda Manjari. What is my comment? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considered to be Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani, and sometimes it's stated that he's Radha and Krishna in the same transcendental form. That's Radha Krishna Pranivikriti Aladi Nishakti Rasmad. That's stated in numerous authentic scriptures. However, we don't have any such reference in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, especially, which is very much about Lord Nityananda, that Lord Nityananda is a similar incarnation. Ananda Manjari is the Shakti of Lord Balaram. She's the younger sister of Srimati Radharani. So there, since there's no such reference, since Prabhupada himself did not say anything, I've not seen Bhaktisanta Saraswati Thakur or any of our other predecessor acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, make such a comment. So therefore we should not accept it until someone comes up with some authoritative reference. Then it's not something that we should either refer to or think that it's necessary or an ingredient part of Krishna consciousness. And there's another question here from Balaram. He's asking the following. He says, can you explain why it's more valuable to live in Vrindavan without devotion than outside of it with devotion? It's a quote from Venu Gita. That quote from Venu Gita is from Vrindavan Mahimamrita. It's our Prabodhananda Saraswati who makes statements like that. So sometimes, in addition to statements of tattva, or philosophical principle, there are also statements of emotion, bhava, that are expressed by Vaishnavas, especially exalted Vaishnavas, in which they seem to sometimes contradict certain statements or make statements that are hard for us to reconcile with points of philosophy. Obviously, if you're living in the Dham without any devotion, the question arises, how do you then appreciate living in Vrindavan? But here's a Mahabhagavata, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, expressing his appreciation for Vrindavan Dham. And in order to do that, he shows us the contrast of moods. I'd rather live outside of Vrindavan, or I'd rather live inside of Vrindavan as a non-devotee. But he is a devotee. He's a great devotee. So there's no question of him not doing that. Obviously, for us, day-to-day devotees, the emphasis is on us actually practicing Krishna consciousness and being devotees and cultivating our devotion. A similar quote, and there are many such quotes when we look at it, is, for instance, when Krishna sends a message to the gopis through Uddhava, reminding them that he's the super soul within their hearts. And the gopis say, but we're not interested in the super soul. We're interested in seeing Krishna face to face. Krishna may be everywhere and in everything, but how does that help us? We want to see Shyama Sundar. So once again, it's an expression of ecstasy. It's an expression of bhava, where there's no question of the super soul not being important or the relevance of the super soul to our lives. But in their great ecstasy, in a very elevated state of consciousness, the gopis are expressing this particular mood. And we will see that there are many such statements like this, particularly that are spoken by very exalted personalities, when they're especially riding on the waves of love, on the waves of prema. And we need to know how to be able to balance these. It's not that one of them negates the other. It's just that tattva and bhava, or the expression of bhava, sometimes need to be bridged in order to be understood. They're not always synchronized so easily. but we should respect. We need to respect the expression and the feelings and the moods of such exalted personalities. Another final thought comes to mind of Vamsidas Babaji, how he takes his Gornitai deities under his arm and he takes them into the Ganges and he bathes them. That's not the proper way for we devotees to bathe deities. We don't do things like that. But when one is absorbed in higher states of Krishna consciousness, then he may do and say things like that. And that is why Srila Prabhupada would quote this, Vaishnavaya Kriya Mudra Vigyana Pujoy, that one should not question the activities, behavior, and words of devotees on the platform of love of God, because they're difficult to understand for ordinary conditioned souls. Hare Krishna.